Good evening, everyone. As promised, this week we'll talk about one of the most important innovations in healthcare, probably ever. It's health insurance. Which I know sounds like a boring drag, but I think in the right context is actually quite interesting, and I'll do my best to keep you engaged, especially since this is going to be a multi-parter. Let's start with what health insurance is exactly. Health insurance is where an organization agrees to cover medical expenses of a group of people, usually in exchange for a steady payment. People buy health insurance, then pay some monthly fee, and in exchange their insurer helps to pay for medical bills that might arise. Maybe you've never thought about this before, but why is health insurance necessary? Why do we need to put up with all the paperwork and the nonsense that comes with having it? It's annoying for sure, but in some ways it beats the alternative. Before health insurance existed, people just paid their doctors whenever they got medical treatment of any sort. And a long time ago, that was totally fine. But if you think back on, well, anything that you've learned from this show, it's pretty clear that in earlier times, really anything before the 1800s, medicine is pretty rough. Even during the 1800s, it's still pretty rough. Doctors were just as likely to harm you as they were to help you back in the day, and also methods were primitive. What this means is twofold. For one, the fact that medicine didn't really work that well meant that demand for it was relatively low. Sure, lots of people were getting sick, but there were a lot of things that not much could be done about, and so no costs were really incurred. Dying of plague, while really terrible, is also pretty much free as far as treatment goes. Methods being primitive also meant that even when you were treated, it was relatively cheap to do so. We've talked plenty about old remedies on this show, many of which did not work, but also many of which were at least cheap and easy to do. For example, bloodletting just requires one doctor and a sharp object, or maybe some leeches. Not particularly expensive equipment, meaning that even if you had the procedure done, the patient could potentially directly pay for it, without too much trouble. In contrast, let's think about today. Let's take plague again as an example. If you got plague today, first you'd go to a general doctor, who would see you and run some tests on you. Those tests are sent to a lab, where a scientist actually runs the test and conveys that information back to the first doctor. You're diagnosed with plague, at which point you are prescribed antibiotics, which are manufactured by a pharmaceutical company, shipped to a pharmacy, and finally get to you. And that's perhaps a best-case scenario. If you get sick enough to have to go to the hospital, your treatment would get so much more complicated. There are many reasons healthcare costs are so high these days, but one, at least compared to a couple hundred years ago, is that we genuinely do better healthcare. And the time of all these professionals and the equipment used by them in treatments really requires a lot of money. And so as medicine got better and better, it got more expensive to do. But not only that, more people wanted it. Antibiotics actually work on plague, and people tend to want things that actually work. Who would have thought? But more people wanting something tends to drive prices up even further, and at some point it became apparent that individual patients couldn't afford to pay for their own treatments alone anymore. As you can imagine, this is very bad for patients who can't get the medical care they need, but also for healthcare providers, who now can't actually make money because their patients are getting priced out entirely. Enter health insurance. By having one organization cover the medical expenses of a group, we can spread out the costs across a whole bunch of people. On average, most people don't get that sick, and therefore don't incur huge medical expenses. But any one person who does get really sick probably won't be able to afford their treatment. With health insurance in place, everyone pays in something, but no one runs the risk of completely going bankrupt or just not getting treated at all. At least that's how it should be in theory. You now understand the theoretical reasoning for how and why health insurance is necessary. But now let's talk about the actual history. Several folks did write about the problem of medical costs, dating as far back as the 1600s, proposing systems that are basically modern insurance. However, there was simply not enough need for such systems at the time, at least not broadly. In some places, for very specific professions, health insurance systems have been set up very early. For example, disabled sailors in France had their health care covered by the government all the way back in 1693. Starting in the 1700s, Europe began to see the formation of community organizations called friendly societies, or mutual societies, or just sick funds. These essentially were groups formed to provide help in the event of sickness, unemployment, or death. They were often tied to specific industries, like mining, for example. In Bohemia, miners pooled their funds to help pay for hospitals and care for widows or children of miners killed in accidents. Such funds weren't exclusively meant to provide healthcare, but they did frequently include medical care as needed for their members. Over many years, such informal organizations began to spread, although slowly at first. To illustrate, let's look at England. In 1793, England passed an Act of Parliament that gave government legitimacy to such organizations, and by 1801 there were about 7,000 such friendly societies. Growth was slow but steady, and over many decades more and more people were part of such organizations. However, the Industrial Revolution began to speed up adoption. Traditionally, farmers or servants who were often paid in room and board or goods. But factory workers were given steady wages in cash, which could then be used to enter one of these sickness funds. Workers in new industries were also highly likely to be injured or even killed, which further incentivized spreading the risks out among more people. By 1872, there were about 32,000 friendly societies across England and Wales, with several million people being covered. However, for reference, the whole population of England around this time was about 23 million, which means that these only covered a minority of the population. Clearly, for many people, these societies were not of any help. It was estimated that about half of the English population was still unable to afford medical care at this time, which goes back to that problem I was describing earlier, of rising costs and demand as medicine improved. Internationally, these trends pretty much held. Some people were part of funds that helped spread risk around, but in the late 1800s, it was still only about a fourth of workers in Northwest Europe. That's a lot of people who cannot get healthcare, which is going to put a lot of pressure on societies and governments to figure something out. Now, I know most of this episode was an introduction to health insurance, but that's where we'll stop for this week, unfortunately. Next week, we're going to talk about the first social insurance system, which was constructed as a response to some of this pressure. Hopefully, I didn't bore you too much with my first episode about the origins of health insurance. If not, or I guess if so, let me know with the links in the show notes so I can do better. Thanks to Jojo Tang for editing, Angie Lee for our cover art, and Muse Open for this lovely outro.